a train. Banners to, sorry, banners to operators, to mechanics, and on and on and on. I'm just really excited to have this day and have this month where we can focus on their work and contribution. And that's something we've been trying to do along with the other transit providers. I was really making sure we're focusing on the human beings that are powering the systems like that. So that's just something you're going to see from us on a basis. Do you want ridership? Keep this brief. We're just slightly under target, but had a really good February. Doing well. March has been looking good so far as well. So I feel like we're starting a little bit of a stronger pace than we did last year. Hopefully, no more stuff. Metrics, you can see even in the metrics that completed trips, not all the metrics have increased. We're still not quite at target yet. Again, March is starting to look a little bit better as we start pulling out of the pool, but making a lot of good progress on our metrics. A couple of things that we're working on, just so the board and the public are aware, we're looking at signals and switches, particularly down here at Congress, and some improvements to allowing that to function better. We had some vehicle availability. A lot of that was from just having to replace the parts, but we're back up and running. And then we have been, for members of the public who are either in attendance or listening, we are updating the station monitors. It's been a little bit more of a process than we had anticipated to get them up and running properly, but we are going to have updated station monitors complete the next week or so. D282 Next continue to move along really nicely. We targeted a 15% increase in ridership. We're at 22 and 20 group. So still going really, really strong services. TransNav, I'm going to leave most of this for our external affairs team. Suffice to say that we're growing usage, downloads, and sessions. So sessions is the amount of times a user is using it. So all these are really good metrics or usage out of it. We are going to move towards a more of an onboard campaign. So we did kind of our launch campaign. We did a campaign around the Go feature, which is how people use the app. And now as we're getting to the warmer weather, we're going to start getting information out on the vehicles and the stations. So you'll see these are all branded with at least the colors and the logos of the specific transit providers. So each transit provider has a little bit of its own flavor, but we're going to have these vehicles and stations. See, you can see how the queue line vehicle is just kind of an example of what it looks like. So we're moving through that process as we speak. This is just kind of the grab bag. It's called program updates. So I just want to remind the board, regional capital program and federal funding action, one of our major actions we do every year is in April. We have several large procurements that are underway, IT managed services, fiber network managed services, enterprise resource planning tool, and others. So we're in kind of a heavy procurement cycle, really over the next couple of months, making some changes to some of our core business technology items. New state infrastructure funding, which we talked about several times. Looks like the call for projects is going to be out probably late April, early May. We participated in an urban transit call today, hosted by the Michigan Public Transit Association. We got our first look at the call for projects and what's going to be eligible. There'll be some more webinars and information available to us on that.
Cool.
And then we'll talk a little bit more about this in future meetings, but I just wanted to make sure to promote. We do have finalist sites for our Access to Transit projects. So we have one in Southfield, one in Detroit, Warren, so Township, Dearborn. And it's a little bit small. I apologize at the screen. Again, we'll do a little bit more detail maybe next month after. I just wanted to give the board a sense of these aren't just bus stop upgrade projects. So this is, well, it does include new shelters, other elements. It's looking at enhanced crosswalks. It's looking at sidewalk gaps. It's looking at having new security cameras, lighting, parking, mid-block crossing. So it's not just bus stop upgrade. It's also looking at activity throughout getting to the bus stop in this location here at 9 Mile in Providence Drive on kind of the southern end of Providence Hospital. So these are all in high generator, ridership generator, pedestrian generator locations. And then upcoming up items, federal funding split, the strategic plan approval, we're targeting for the April 16th meeting. We're hoping to have our IT managed services contract ready for approval at that meeting in May. Depending on timing of board members and other things, we will be sort of revisit the board officer slate. Strategic plan approval, I put in there twice. Sorry. And then hopefully, fiber network services contract will be ready in May. We're still kind of figuring out the timing of that. It's a more complex one than we handled before, so we might want to take a little. And that is all I have. Thank you very much. Are there any questions or concerns? More? Hearing none, we can move on to our provider presentations, and we'll start with and finish with Vito. Les Prater, are you going to cover both Vito and Vito?
Will not steal Malia, General Manager Howard's thunder. She'll join you next month. All right. So it's afternoon. Good afternoon, everybody. I would say it's my year cannot start until I am able to do my year in review and looking ahead presentation for the RTA. So happy New Year to everyone. I'm going to go through a couple of slides here about things that we've been working on and kind of what we're looking at the year ahead, and then try to keep it relatively brief. And then if you have any questions, certainly, I mean, all of you can reach out to me or anyone anytime, but just an update here. So am I driving this or not? Go to the next slide. Next slide. Yeah. Okay. All right. So in 2025, we supported efforts to increase bus drivers and bus stop amenities. We had two service increases in April and June, 5% apiece. And that was based on our projection and our budget that we had approved from City Council to be able to grow the service. So that was the idea. Where we fell short was actually being able to fill and retain those driver positions and to be able to have our vehicles be available for service every day. So we had 10 classes. We hired hundreds of TEOs, that's our bus drivers. At the end of the year, all we had to show for it is that we had not fallen any farther behind. So that's one indicator of kind of the churn that we went through. And then similarly, on the bus side, we had times of increasing bus availability. We were teeing up for a delivery of 45 new buses. But as soon as we would get up to where we wanted to be, we would have some buses that fell out of repair. We had some really significant delays with getting the new buses out on the road as well. And so that kind of really helped us have some pretty precise clarity on the fact that the fleet condition and the capabilities of the maintenance staff were things that were going to continue to limit our ability to grow as all of us want to. And what that aligned with at the end of the year was we had a new road package that presented some pretty significant new funding for the city to take advantage of. And that paved the way for some generational historic union contracts that brought us into parity with the other providers for the first time since DDOT's been a thing. Again, funded in part by this extra money that was brought to the table for roads and transit projects as well. So this year we've got a big road ahead of us. And I think I'm covering the whole thing by just having this one slide up here. But let's move forward to the next one. We can touch on some of these. So this is our driver's picture here. So you can see last year basically we're holding serve there, but not for a lack of effort because each month we had classes that were dozens of drivers. And then we had dozens of separations. This has been an issue that's been going on for a while. You can see the white dotted line here is when we approved the new contracts with those $6 an hour increases. And all of a sudden, now we've added and held on to 50 more drivers. So we went from being consistently a little short of the schedule we had to now we have about 25 drivers more than we need for our current schedule, which is a good place to be because obviously, if we're going to increased service, we need to have the buses and the drivers. Go to the next slide. This is just the system map to kind of set the stage for the service. Again, we made two increases in service last year. These were not routing changes. This was just a matter of increasing the frequency on some of our routes. The DDOT Reimagine plan, which is kind of our framework for growing in the future, talks about increasing the network of frequent enhanced service. So the two of those that we have implemented in our changes is Jefferson and Grand River both have scheduled frequencies of 10 minutes, which is really good service. And as we are able to resume increases in the future, hopefully that's where we would have more of those corridors come up to that very frequent level of service. Go to the next slide. All right, on-time performance. Again, there's a lot of ways to measure how the system's working for the riders. The lighter shades here are last year, our 2024's on-time performance. The darker shades are 2025. So you can see we had a general decrease over the year. Again, a lot of that's based on the bus availability that we had. We increased the service, which stressed the system. The buses weren't there. And so that does affect the ability to maintain on-time performance. The industry standard for on-time performance is about 85%. So you can see all of this 85 on this chart is the top of the page. So we are still below where we want to be. So far, the first couple months of this year, we've seen increases to get back up closer to 75%. So we're, as we have the bus availability be more consistent, and now that we have more than enough drivers, we are on a path to see this grow hopefully through the next couple of quarters. Go to the next slide. This is our ridership for 24 versus 25. Overall for the year, our ridership increased about 7%. Don't mind that midsummer. We didn't close down for a week there in the middle of the summer. We've been having some data issues with a lot of this gets fed in from Clever, and we've been working through some of the challenges with ingesting the data properly. But so that's that dip. But overall, about 7% increase. We really think that as we're continuing to increase service this year, and if we can achieve better reliability, that there's a potential for this number to go up double digits or more. Next slide. All right, paratransit. So kind of the other, our parallel complementary service and paratransit, you can see here are about 15% increase from 24 to 25. This is the signal of a healthy and useful system. All of our on-time performance indicators are A, which means 95% plus. So it's just, it's been a good service. You can see the note in the bottom here. DDOT Now is a service we launched in July, which offers another option for paratransit in the same day service. That's been about 2,500 trips a day for these same three months. So you can see we've got 36, low 30s, but then last year we did not have DDOT Now, so it's really even a larger increase in that paratransit usage based on same day service adding more capacity as well. And our budget for this coming year includes a couple million dollars increase to fund these services. Basically, the more riders we have, the more our costs increase. And so this is reflecting success on the one hand, but a challenge on the other hand. Your next slide. This is the bus fleet availability to kind of paint the picture I was talking about earlier. So you can see that this is really faint, but basically this line 195 is about what we need to satisfy our service every day. So you can see we got really close to it. Then we had another setback. Well, we're on a good trajectory now, especially with the New Flyer buses being over 80% on the road every day as well. Our goal to achieve the pullout, the scheduled usage that justifies the current size of our fleet is actually just over 240. So we still have some more work to do, but that also means that as we're increasing the availability of the buses we already have, that there's plenty of room for us to grow the service based on the schedule that's out on the road today. So kind of a silver lining situation there. But again, our biggest constraint here has been having the technical skill set of our maintenance staff to be able to diagnose and repair these vehicles. I think for me, the way I've been communicating this is Grand Rapids is kind of the standard we're looking toward, where they're able to handle every single repair unless the vendor requires them to send it out for warranty work. They can diagnose, repair, adjust, fix, and test every repair they need for their entire fleet. And that's where we would want to get to, because it's quicker, it's more effective, less costly, and utilizes the skill set and the employees that we have rather than having to send out to vendors. Next slide. So our fleet replacement status is looking back a couple of years. The light green here are buses that we replaced with clean diesels from 21 to 23. And then the darker green are either low or no emission vehicles. So we just finished taking delivery of 45 diesel electric hybrid buses, and we've taken delivery of 4 battery electric buses. The 45 are essentially on the road. Those are the ones that we're taking a bit of time to get into service. The 4 electrics are still going through the training process, and there may be a recall associated with them as well. So by the end of April, early May, is when I believe those 4 all electric buses will be on the road. Oh, and then we do have funding for these electric hybrids, another 80 of them over the next 2 replacement cycles, which is a fantastic hit rate of basically 3 out of the last 4 years we've been able to get awarded competitive grants for bus replacement. So that's great. Next slide. A couple other things we've been working on this year. We got quite a bit of feedback about the customer experience related to cloth seats. Sounds like a great idea. If you don't use the bus, that of course you'd want to have cloth seats. But turns out that's just like kind of like a mystery seat, is how it works out. They're almost impossible to really get clean consistently. Either they look dirty or they are dirty or both. Smart actually used the portion of their COVID dollars to replace their entire fleet all at once to go with plastic seats. At DDOT, since 2020, we've been purchasing all of our new buses with plastic seats, but we did get some additional council dollars that were set aside last year. That's going to allow us to replace 68 buses. After this, the oldest buses will still have cloth seats, but we're going to complete this project and then we'll see where we stand. This basically, again, gets us to the majority of our buses are going to have the plastic seats. I can assure you that they are actually pretty darn comfortable, and much easier to clean, and less of a mystery to people who have to sit in them. Next slide. Okay, so peeking ahead or looking ahead to 2026, building on the contract changes that we were able to secure last year, refocusing on safe and reliable transit, kind of rebuilding that trust of the riders. That's what we really need to have in place for us to be able to grow into, a travel mode of choice, something that's attractive, convenient, and can be part of the Sheffield administration's larger goals of really quality of life improvements, attracting people to move here, to come back, and to stay. But those are things that are all based on having a high quality of services like transit, and also, again, really supporting some of the other initiatives with especially, youth, seniors, neighborhood development nodes. These are all things that are built on quality transit, and that's our driving force this year, is to really focus on customer on care and empathy and customer satisfaction as we operate our service every day. So the Coolidge facility is a really big boost, thinking about what we do, but also how we do it, thinking about how the employees are supported. Supporting them is something that's going to lead to the results we want out on the street. So Coolidge is something that no passenger or rider is ever going to see, but it's something that's a huge upgrade between the Gilbert Terminal, which is not a great place environment to work, and Coolidge, which is a brand new facility. It's going to make a big difference. There's lots of natural light. There's a training room, an outdoor patio for drivers and maintenance workers to use, new training facilities, new equipment. So it's just a really big opportunity. Again, it's not anything that the passengers will see and can feel and touch, but it makes a big difference for half of our operation, basically, to have a significant upgrade in the facility that they have to report to every day. And then the contract opportunities, we still have some work to do to really fine-tune the incentive package that we developed in theory with the unions for ASE training certification, CDLs. Those are things over time that are really going to drive the technical capabilities and also help us attract, recruit, and retain higher skilled mechanics. Just for reference, prior to this, we were paying about $25 an hour for mechanics. And that's the only system I could find in the country where that was less than the drivers. And of course, all of us know that the drivers weren't even paid as much as some of our peers as well. So it's a very challenging situation, but we've got the resources in place now to really be able to swing the pendulum the other direction. Go to the next slide. Kind of buzz through these. This is the Coolidge. Again, this is going to open April 27th. Be kind of an overnight switch. It's a big lift for our staff. It's about a 6-week process, but you've got to make it all happen basically over one night, because Saturday, no, Sunday night we'll be operating out of Gilbert, and Monday morning we'll be operating out of Coolidge. So, looking forward to that. We had a lot of great partners that helped that happen. It was about a $165 million project, and is coming in a little bit under budget and definitely on schedule. So excited about that. Go to the next slide. The contracts, I think I mentioned like six times already, but it is a really big deal and gives us parity with Ann Arbor, Flint, Smart, Lansing. Really, again, a big deal. I'm sure that it will hold for a little bit before all of those agencies renegotiate their contracts. But this is the first time that we've actually had this parity. And that has been a huge challenge for us, even thinking about ways that DDOT and Smart can work better together. It's difficult to hear passionate people, drivers, maintenance workers, or people that represent them say, "That's great, but you're asking me to drive a bus on the same corridor as someone that's making $6 an hour more than me if we're doing the same thing." Like, we get it. We love transit. We love the city, but you know, that's so it's a big deal, and you know, it's up to us to really make sure we can make the most out of the opportunity. Next slide. So safety has been something that's been a focus for quite a while. There's a lot of good reasons why safety should always be a focus, from a risk management perspective, from a lawsuit perspective, human life and health perspective, and also for our employees and our riders, of course, is first and foremost. So we did negotiate into this contract for the first time. We have a safe driver incentive. So if you have no preventable crashes for the quarter, you get an incentive. But then also following that up with kind of recognition, we've got over 150 drivers that haven't had a single preventive crash in the last 2 years. So we're going to be recognizing them. And then having kind of like an annual, it's almost like a perfect attendance pin, a recognition of something to just continue to emphasize and lift up the drivers we want to make a positive example of. That safety is something that should be kind of permeate the agency on a day-to-day basis. Go to the next slide. So building the workforce, this is something I feel, because I have been talking about this in different ways for quite a long time. And this is what I'm about to talk about here is a small piece, but really important. Our maintenance staff has been working with partners at Detroit at Work and Henry Ford College to develop a custom curriculum that will be a, I don't know if we settled on 10 or 12 weeks, but basically it's a focused class that will intake people. DDOT will be paying them to, basically they'll be being paid to work while they're at school. So DDOT will be paying that part. And then we have two grants, one that pays the tuition and the costs of Henry Ford College. And then another grant that if they successfully complete the class, they get a $5,000 tool set, which is something that really comes up frequently, that the more seasoned mechanics can tell if someone shows up and they don't have any of their own tools, they're like, that guy, right? So it's just a really important thing to set people up for this. We're gonna and when they get to the end, they get a position as a repair mechanic at DDOT. So we're gonna be limiting that to how many people we can push through and then put into positions. We have been we had a couple fits and starts, but we're looking to have our first class of six people start sometime in the next couple of weeks. So we're working on that process. But really, again, when when people graduate from this class, they will have really a custom tailored set. It's about half and half on the job training at DDOT facilities versus classroom time. So they're going to come out of this with really a crash course in a good way of all the things that we think are important for them to know, to then be able to learn from our more seasoned mechanics and really become experts in their field. So very excited about this. Again, we're talking five or six people at a time. It's still relatively small, but this is going to be our best chance yet at having really a really good pipeline for talent. Next slide. So Mayor Sheffield and her administration, as you probably have been hearing if you've been paying attention to any of the social media or news coverage, is really adding a lot of extra emphasis and energy on supporting youth and seniors. Obviously, the youth are the future, and the seniors are an important part of our past and present and future. So DDOT's going to be working on a couple of initiatives, including a program where K-12 students can ride for free year-round. More details will come out for that, but it is included in the budget. Also drafting kind of an increased program of safety, evaluating potentially having some onboard either ambassadors or adults, I'll say support staff, targeted in areas that have a higher student ridership if they're experiencing any discomfort, uncomfort based on safety and concerns. They're kind of piloting what that might look like for us to have some extra support in the field. We're going to be launching our new and upgraded onboard camera system this coming fiscal year, which will increase some of the capabilities we have, both the retention and the resolution of the video increases, but it also has features like if there's something that's happening on the bus in real time, the DPD will actually be able to remote in and see what's happening so that they can have a safer and quicker response to what might be happening on the bus. And then a good camera system is always good to make sure that discipline, customer complaints, that all of the analysis of those can be fair and unbiased, and also presents a lot of opportunities for training. So when we see something, it's not about finding reasons to write up and discipline our staff, but opportunities to teach them and to point out areas that we can improve and give them the support that they need to do that. Next slide, almost done. Our bus stop and rider amenities. So again, something a common frequent focus of the past and current council and Mayor Sheffield is how can we improve the customer experience and the amenities out on the street? We have over 5,000 bus stops. Only a couple hundred of those have shelters or benches or any sort of amenities. And so there's been quite a bit of resources and energy effort put behind the idea of increasing those amenities. It's been a little bit frustrating given the cost and time and hoops that we have to jump through. So we haven't made as much progress as I would like. This past year, we installed 60 new shelters. We've got funding and we're in the pipeline for another 100. And then using some extra council funding, we were able to purchase 200 benches and we're in the process of installing those too. So we know that's something that that riders and residents are actually going to be able to see and touch out in the field. And hopefully, if we can improve the efficiency of installing those, that we'll be able to do even more of these types of things in the future. Next. I had to give a shout out to our marketing team. Linda Vineyard's in charge over there. Skip Bryant is someone that joined the team a few months ago who's been around in the city in different roles for quite a long time. He's been pouring all of his energy into increasing our social media presence. And so, just as an example, I pulled up Facebook increases here in Q4. A lot of followers, impressions, and engagements. This is just another tool for us to engage the public and riders, get them educated and excited about using transit, and help them know about the things that it can do for them. Almost done. Next slide. Okay, I think this is the last one. Accessibility, and then I have one other note I want to make, but accessibility was a pre-fare self-driving shuttle led by OMI, that's Office of Mobility Innovation. And it was a partnership with May Mobility. That's these pictures are version 1.0. It wasn't called that at the time, but the first version of this. That pilot ended the funding ran out and May Mobility kind of decided to go a different direction, but we learned a lot from that. It was a very popular service. It was a certain subset of the city. It had I think what 160 unique riders, generally seniors and passengers with disabilities that were able to use it to get around this area that it was operating in. And really was a great way to introduce people to the idea of an AV being part of the mobility framework. For accessibility 2.0, we've got budget to start kind of the pilot of the first year is kind of like setting it up and getting a non-autonomous vehicle to operate the service. And then we've got a grant from MDOT that will actually pay for the second year, which includes an AV application that will again kind of expand this service. The zone will be a little bit bigger than the first time around. And it will also include specifically access for veterans and survivors of gun violence. Those are two things we added as part of this grant program. So we're excited about that. And then the last thing I'll add too is on the agenda today, you have an item that talks about an agreement, draft agreement to repurpose some old JARC and New Freedom funds. So that's kind of something that some old funding that the city had applied for had been awarded. And over time, as the projects and expenses and possible uses have changed, that funding is getting really old. And so we've been working with the RTA, Ben and his staff, to find some ways to be able to spend those dollars down, stay on the good list of all of our regulatory partners, and make sure that it makes an impact, positive impact on Detroiters. So we're appreciative of that partnership. And you know, if the board kind of moves forward with that, then we kind of finalize it, and then there's still some work to do as far as finishing it up on our end, and then we have to take it in front of the administration and the council for their ultimate approval. But just wanted to note that that's a good example of, you know, some of the work that we all do behind the scenes to keep and bring as much funding to the region, and again, keep our regulatory partners happy. So I think, unless I forgot, I think that's the, yeah, there you go. Thank you. So if you have any questions, I'm here. Otherwise, appreciate the time.
I don't know if you're going to hear this, so I'll speak loudly. Accessibility 2.0, is that going to be with May Mobility again? It's going to be a different provider.
Yeah, it'd be different. May doesn't do that anymore. They've kind of changed their corporate approach to be more of a partner with the TNCs rather than operating their own equipment. So it'll be with a future, a different partner to be determined.
Okay. I asked because May was operating out of the space on our campus, and we still have the space. So if you need it, let us know.
Good to know. Thank you.
I don't know if my voice is deep as well. Can you hear me?
There you go.
So really,
really complaints.
Okay, yeah. All right, really great update. So thank you very much. Really good. And what I'm most pleased to see is some of those big, hard issues that we've been talking about for years, like drivers and their pay rate and getting enough drivers for the buses. I'm so happy to see that we're making progress on that. And I know for years we've been talking also about technical training for the maintenance staff and partnerships with local colleges. And now we have traction. So really, really happy to see that. Excited to see that we have the focus on the K through 12, right? So we do have a huge problem in our city, and it's national, with chronic absenteeism, and transportation is the key barrier for a lot of our students. So excited to see that partnership and to see how that plays out over time. So thank you for that update. I have a couple of quick questions for you. When we were talking about the increased frequency of transportation along some of the corridors, which is great. And I know Jefferson's one of the ones that you're focused on. When you talk with our transit rider groups and they talk about issues with frequency, what are some of those key areas in the city that you hear from them that need more attention and need more bus service?
Great question. I think DDOT reimagined not perfect and was a snapshot in time, but did a good job at identifying, and I'd be happy to hear if the advocate community differs, but generally speaking, they've got the buy-in that that's the right network of those enhanced corridors. Okay. So 8 mile, 7 mile, Greenfield, Grand River, you know, all the spoke routes. Those are the routes that make logical sense. And our network has a pretty good grid that covers the city. So it's not like there's huge areas that don't have any coverage. But that was part of the trade-off discussion with DDOT Reimagine is how much do we emphasize the highest quality transit on the core enhanced routes versus spreading the peanut butter thinner. And I think you know, the hope is to lift up both together. So make the enhanced routes really good, really high frequency, but also make sure that our worst routes are still not that bad. And that's what we continue to have support for. And even these changes, you know, the June change, we increased Grand River to 10 minutes, but we also made some improvements to some of those lower frequency routes as well. So it's kind of a combination of both, but I think we have pretty good consensus over what that network is that needs to have the different levels and then raising all of the service frequency. In the future, I'm hoping there'll be some more analysis and discussion about other ways that we can maybe bridge some more first last mile gaps to make that as we improve the network and then also have more ways to feed into it.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. And I appreciate that you guys are focusing on that. Because from an equity standpoint, right, I know that, you know, our Jeffersons, our Woodwards, right, those routes we service a lot of, you know, our businesses, but as important, right, in the communities. With folks trying to get to work, trying to get to school, et cetera, is just as important.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad that you're focused on both. So thank you for that. And then my second question is, you talked about right now the ridership, which looks good, right? We're at about 1 billion and some change. What's the actual goal? What are you trying to get to?
That's a good question. That's a really good question. I mean, ideally, I'd like to get back to, you know, pre-pandemic numbers and start to build on that, but I'm hesitant to say it that way because it's not about, you know, turning the clock back.
Right.
But I mean, that would be a really good measure of success because so much has changed between before the pandemic and now that even if we just put everything back how it was, the ridership is totally, the patterns are different just based on how people live.
Exactly.
So for me, that's kind of the getting back toward that that range. Like, in, I think that's in the 30 million rides a year range. Maybe it's more than that, but pushing toward our pre-pandemic level of ridership would mean that we have successfully not only worked to increase the service, but we've done it in a way that is actually effective, rather than just turn it back on and hope that wouldn't work. So to me, if I had to pick a number, it'd be to get back to pre-pandemic, realizing that it's not about restoring that service, but that would be a signal that we're really succeeding in our next, you know, era.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. No, that's great. Thank you. So that's it. That's it for me. Thank you. Really great update.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
No question. Okay, I just have one, which is, what can we do in terms of coordination, service development, planning, helping you get grants? What could RPA do to better help you achieve some of these great goals that you have?
So, of course, it's a good question. I think that a lot of what we've been, we just had a good coordination meeting yesterday with MDOT and the providers and Ben and the RTA staff. So I think that really just continuing to have open conversations and sharing and supporting each other. This kind of sounds kind of hokey, but there's not anything of like, well, if only you did this, it would unlock, you know, tens of millions of dollars more. But I think always, but especially today, the more we can work together as a group, the more competitive we'll be, whether it's for this new infrastructure mystery fund at the state, whether it's through whatever initiatives might be coming through Washington. I really think that's the answer. And I think we're we're trying. I think we're not quite there yet. But some of the things we talked about yesterday, as far as focusing on our version 5.0 of the Woodward corridors, like this time, let's make sure that we can do everything we can to support each other, and get the right people in the room and keep pushing. And eventually, maybe it will still not come to anything. But this is a new opportunity for us to move forward. So, a really long non-answer, but basically, we just need to keep working together.
Thank you so much, and
Thank
looking
you.
forward to meeting Malia and hearing about the EPC next month, or next meeting. Next on the agenda here is our consent agenda. I happily take a motion to approve that agenda, which includes the approval of the February 26th meeting summary, the February 26th financial report, our procurement advisory notice, and an approval of an updated procurement policy. Will make a motion.
So moved.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. We're going to move on to the regular agenda, and the first item being the approval of the fiscal year 2025 financial audit.
All right. I will have our auditors come up and walk through the financial report there on your coast.
I'll just stop here.
Okay.
No, I'm good. You're bad.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Let me get the right side here. There you go. All right. Thank you very much. My name is Jordan Smith. I'm the principal of Manifest Harrison, and I'm here to talk about our audit for September 30, 2025, and a couple of months that ended. If you have any questions, just interrupt me. Happy to answer this question as we go along. I'm happy to interrupt you, please, to get those answers for you. Before I go any further, I really need to thank Ben, Melanie, Michelle, and their teams for helping us get the audit done. Providing us documentation, stuff like that, we can't do our job unless we get the information to the audit, and it is provided to us. We really, really appreciate that. The other thing I want to point out is I am sending a draft. This isn't finalized. Every anticipation is this will be finalized before March 31st. Probably from the next week or less, but this is the draft I'm interested in. This is what I was asked, requested to present. So, to get started, skipping down, first thing I want to point out here is the independent audit report. This is the whole purpose of an audit, is this independent audit report. Is the information reliable? Things like that. The first few paragraphs here are our opinion paragraphs. I'm not going to read all this information for you. You can read it in your patents and stuff. But the gist of this is to say, this is a clean, unmodified opinion, all in accordance with GAAP. GAAP being generally accepted accounting principles. So it's the best possible opinion you can get. But there's other opinions you can get. This is not it. This is the best possible. The last paragraph on the first page talks about management's responsibility, which is for the preparation and fair presentation of the financial statements in accordance with GAAP, which is an accounting principle generally accepted in the United States. And for the design, implementation, and maintenance of internal controls relevant to the preparation and fair presentation of these financial statements. So that is management's responsibility. Our responsibility as the auditors, you can see it right there, auditor's responsibility. Our objective responsibility is to obtain reasonable assurance about whether the financial statements as a whole are free from material misstatement, whether due to fraud or error, and to issue an auditor's report that includes our opinions. So this letter includes our opinion, being unmodified, as I mentioned. Our job is not to detect fraud, is not to give an opinion on internal controls. We know stuff, we've been bringing it to your attention, we're not bringing anything to your attention, so we did not know it. But I want to point out those items. I'm going to skip forward now to the actual financial statements themselves, basic financial statements. I'm going to talk a little bit about full accrual financial statements and then go into the modified accrual. On the full accrual basis, we look at a number of these items for different reasons. I want to point out a few things. So the top four lines in assets is your current assets for the most part there. It's a little over $10.1 million. We look at that various ways. We also look at your liabilities, the top four of your liabilities there, which come out to about $2.55 million. So the current ratio for the year, basically a measure of your liquidity. How capable is the organization of meeting their current obligations with their current resources, their current assets. So at 9/30/2025, it's 3.99. So basically four times over. That's a positive situation. In the prior year, that was 0.97. So it went from basically one up to basically just below four. Why? Largely got a lot of assets from the Q line, grant receivables, cash, stuff like that. I'm not including any capital assets here. So no vehicles, no buildings, nothing on that score is being included in this analysis or debt. So just wanted to point out there that's a positive situation. The next page here is the statement of activities. Again, full accrual, includes a long-term focus, more or less. Expenses for the year were 23.5 million, a little over 23.5 million. You have your revenues. What I really want to point out is for about five amounts from the bottom on the right-hand side, net income loss before special items. So the special item is the transfer of the Q-line assets into RTA, a little over $110.5 million. Then who's all the caps? But as I mentioned, the number I want to look at is that $3,047,747. So without that special operations, there would have been a loss during the year of a little over $3 million. You can just see how that plays in there. Everything. The other revenue largely is interest revenue earned during the year. There's two other things, but most is interest. But I just want to point that out so you can see kind of where it's going. The program to operate everything is you can see on the program revenues. You get your net expense, you add your interest, you use that loss for special items. So again, that's not a full accrual. If you work largely in local government stuff, you're probably more used to the modified accrual. So this is the balance sheet on modified accrual. Does not include your capital assets, does not include any long-term debt you might have, compensated absences, those long-term obligations. This year, total assets were about 10.19 million, which was an increase of just below 2 million in the prior year. Again, large portion of that's Q line. I'll talk a little bit more about revenues and expenses in a minute. Liabilities increased from about 1.95 million up to a little over 2.553 million there. The number I really want to focus on, though, is third number from the bottom, 1,320,684. So that's on a side. That's available for whatever the board would like to use it for. Last year at 9/30/2025, that's a negative $3,528. Now it's a little over 1.3 million. So you can see that positive year over year increase there on that unassigned fund balance. One of the ways, though, I like looking at that is what is that unassigned fund balance as opposed to your expenses for your expenditures? I'll talk a little bit more on expenditures here in a minute. But the expenditures were a little over $19.9 million. So 1.3 million, and I'm ignoring all your restricted assets, ignoring your non-spendable stuff here. This is the unassigned stuff, not our restricted for any purposes. 1.3 million divided by the 19.9 comes in 6.6%. So that's just under 1 month of operations. GFOA, Government Finance Officers Association, recommends a minimum of 2 months of operations of 17%. Now, last year you were negative. This year you're positive. Right? You're at about 7%. So you're trending in the correct direction. And that's the point I want to make here, is that you recommend a minimum of 2 months of operation, about 17%. You're at about 7%. But you're very reimbursement-based, grant-oriented operations, and so it's not unusual for those bank organizations. Skipping forward two pages. Revenues for the 12 months ended September 30, 2025, were about $20,491,000. All this, the change year over year, largely cooking Q line, a lot more operations happening, grants happening. That is the basis. DQ82 had additional revenue. The DAX is up about $300,000, or about $137,000, about $300,000 total revenue. You also got a $5 million state convention facility development grant. Detroit DDA gave you about $900,000. You're one of 15. But overall, your revenue increased from about 6.6 million up to 20.49 million. So large increase there. Expenses, on the other hand, revenues, I just mentioned 20.49. Expenses, or expenditures, let me say correctly, for the modified accrual, were a little over $19.9 million. That's an increase of about $6.6 million last year as well, or $13.3 million increase. Largely, as I mentioned, Q-Line bring in, you got more employees, more on there. Insurance costs went up about $860,000. HR services went up about $90,000. Maintenance services, $200,000. So a lot of that has to do because you're doing a lot more operations and things like that. No surprise. Not including capital assets. You can see the special item there of about $6.496 million. That was the transfer in on a modified accrual basis from the Q1 and all those transfer in of operations there. I'm actually going to skim down a few pages. So I want to specifically talk about that for a second. This is note 8 inside the financial statements for page 30. Really, I just want to point out there, I just mentioned the $6.496 million. And a few minutes ago, I mentioned the $110.589 million. This is what was brought in through the governmental combination. Yeah, B69 requires how that gets reported and stuff like that. And so I just want to point out those numbers so you're aware. Last thing I really want to talk about is the federal compliance audit. Because RTA expended over $1 million, that's an increase in the threshold from $750,000 prior year. We spent $7,385,471 of federal dollars during the fiscal year. That's an increase from about $5.1 million in the prior year. So the change has increased about 44% or $2.2 million. This, because it's spent more than $1 million, you have federal compliance often referred to as single audit. So I just want you to be aware of that. We focus most of our testing, significant portion of it, on the federal transit cluster, which was about $6,695,000 out. So right there. And then the results, there's some letters talking about what we did and stuff. No findings. We didn't have any issues there. But the results of our schedule of findings and question call costs, the summary of audit results, you want to see the X's or check marks in the right-hand column there. So you can see, as I mentioned earlier, we had an unmodified opinion on the financial statements. All the X's in the right-hand column, no findings, no issue there. We issued on a major program, the Federal Transit Cluster, unmodified again. And then you can see that assistance listing number for the Federal Transit Cluster, the only one RTA has is 2025-07, and know the DR there. But you have to report all of them part of the cluster there. So, as I mentioned, million dollar threshold, which is why we did the federal compliance audit. That is really my presentation. Is there any questions I can try to answer? I'm sure Ben can answer a lot more than I can, but I'll answer everything I can.
In your experience for doing models for laptops, is this typical? I mean, is this a just it's like every other one we've done, or those are something different that was more unique to us?
No, almost everywhere in the field with the transits or whatever has a federal transit cluster. And so we're auditing, I don't know, 15 or 20 of them a year. So, yeah, so no, it was not nothing overly different. There's a federal compliance supplement. We follow the federal compliance supplement. All the requirements says with the audit, and we follow that. So.
Other questions, concerns? Hearing none. I guess we would take a motion to approve the 25 minute mark.
So support.
Movement supported, all in favor?
Aye.
Wait, can you say that was all on and done?
Yes.
Got it, all right. Yep. Any opposed? Hearing none. Motion carries. Thank you very much for your vision, sir.
Thank you.
All right. Next up is the Google Legal Counsel Services vendor kind of.
I have this time.
All right, that's all. Okay. So our next item is approval of our updated
legal services. So we did a competitive RFP process to secure legal services for a 3-year contract up to 1-year renewals. Through that competitive process, we selected Doug Margasset, who is our current counsel, general counsel. They were the most competitive in terms of their understanding of the RCA, the understanding of the key line, as well as they were with key lines counsel for, so they're both ours now, they're together with us. They help us, they help support not only our enabling legislation, but clients and procedures, contracts and procurement. They were the lead counsel on previous senior negotiations. We're going to be entering into another round of negotiations this year. And they are also supporting our ongoing litigation. Our lead counsel, Mel Muskovitz, is on the phone. I think he's out of town. He's on the Zoom. And Tina Toma. Tina Thomas here with us today. Tina's our lead defense counsel on some litigation issues. So happy to continue to work with them and take any questions.
Questions on the board?
Can you just tell me the difference between who we're using for our legal counsel and then who we use for our lobbying?
So it's pretty straightforward. Our legal counsel doesn't do lobbying, or we don't do lobbying. We do education, right? but they're purely a legal counsel. We may ask them, for example, for a legal interpretation of like our enabling act, if that comes, it hasn't come up in a while. But when we were doing the Key Line transition, we had to have, hey, are we reading this the right way? We need to talk to the Attorney General's office. Are we that type of thing, but by and large, they're dealing with legal, straightforward legal issues, contracts, media negotiations, lawsuits.
Any other questions?
I could just comment. Thank you for the introduction, Ben, and we're looking forward to spending more time with planning the Key Line. As Ben mentioned, it's been almost 12 years that we've been working with you all. So we're celebrating 100 years at our firm, and we look forward to just growing and continuing to defend Key Line and consulting on all the legal matters. So again, thank you all for your time today. See you then.
All right, with that, I'll take the motion. So moved.
To second.
Moved and supported by Dr. Wild. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. We'll move on to the approval of the transit provider state funding.
So as part of our legal obligation and statutory authority, one of the things we approve every year is the application of all the transit providers to state, mainly for their local bus operating. So this year, administrative standpoint, it's pretty much the same as last year. They've all applied for their funding. Local bus operating got a decent increase last year. The governor's budget for this year looks like another increase. I want to emphasize that those increases are great. They don't quite keep up with growth. So we really always look at, like, you can see this 28%. So every year we really look at how much of a percentage of the operating budget the region is covering. 28% is a good solid number. Statutorily, they can get up to 50%, which is certainly a lot more money. So we're very much in concert with our Michigan Public Transit Association, all of our providers, to work to find opportunities to fund, to support this this fund, the local bus operating fund. But by and large, the amounts that we're going to be seeing in the region, so we have about $477 million in eligible expenses, $133 million we anticipate from the local bus operating fund, and just for comparison, $425 million this is last year, or this current fiscal year 6, and $110 million. So see, we're continuing to grow. This 477 is just over $50 million more. So just continuing to grow. And when we have great opportunities like what we're looking at in Wayne County, what we were able to do in Olpa County, certainly what Washington, the Rise been able to do in terms of bringing out additional local villages, that's great. It grows the pot. It also grows the amount we're taking from the spot. So the only other change, this is a nuance, it's just a change this year. Previously, the providers would provide the federal funding they're anticipating for the next fiscal year. So the state match it. The state's change process. So they provide the match with people with their applications. So we'll talk a little bit more about the capital needs. Robert talked about it really well in terms of people replacements. When we do our federal funding action next month, so a little bit more about this capital needs. Any questions?
Hearing no questions, we'll go ahead and take a motion to approve the application.
So moved.
Moved and supported. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries, and we're on to the subrecipient agreement with DEA related to the department.
Yep. So the motion in front of you is to allow the executive director to execute sub-recipient agreement. The draft of that agreement is included in the packet. Robert did a good job explaining the basics of this, but there's some fairly old federal money in programs that actually don't really exist anymore. About $2.4 million in federal funding. In late 2025, earlier this year, DEA and the Federal Transit Administration approached us and said, hey, could we work with you guys to figure out a way to preserve this money in the region and continue to kind of provide funding to some services you guys are doing. And said, of course, we have a shot. So we put together a proposal that includes using some of this funding to support these oasis gaps. It also uses some funding to expand our partnership with AgeWays that does the mobility management service on I-2 and EAT, which does travel training focused on particularly students with cognitive disabilities. We're looking to see if we can expand that program into the city of Detroit. So while this is supporting some of our ongoing services, we were very careful to make sure that they all had a pretty clear nexus to provide support for this. From a financial standpoint, all this holds, we're looking at about $1.4 to $1.5 million in additional money that we can intake. That allows us to stretch our ARPA dollars out just a little bit more. So these are some of the things that we can do. It helps us financially all that I go to the past. Robert did a great job of explaining the process. Looking for our board's approval for me to move forward to execute the contract along with him. Once we both sign and agree, we'll go in front of council and they'll have the final word. We did get word back from our service at Bangla. Yesterday they have reviewed it and they're comfortable. There's a few very, very minor adjustments. Nothing that I feel the need to report to the board. Everything is pretty much okay with that.
First of all, I'd say that this is encouraging. I mean, we're using our expertise to help fund our providers make sure that we keep money that was awarded here to provide meaningful services to the residents of the city. So that's great. I guess my other question is there a risk associated with this? Obviously, this money was difficult for Detroit to deploy. Are you worried about our ability to deploy?
We have a pretty good plan in place. I feel very confident. So we have to get this all spent by September 30th. So one of the things that we're able to do as an agency of our size is kind of manage our cash a little bit. And we're managing our cash so that basically, I think the hope is by the time we finish the council, which will be soon, we can send in a DEA one or two invoices. So that's the plan, and I think we're pretty darn close. Julia is nodding, Michelle's not here, but there's been many late night emails and other things with our team to make sure we're ready to go. Because if this is something we can do, I mean, this is a service provide, but it also helps us.
Right. Any questions? Hearing none, I take a motion. Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Hearing none, motion carries. And finally, the acceptance of the external affairs report.
Or you want to use these slides, or you can use these slides?
Good afternoon, board. Once again, my name is Lori Wilker, director of the Center of Affairs here at RTA. And I'm going to give you an update on what we've been up to the first quarter of 2026. We have been busy. Who we are, just to establish a baseline of who we are as a team. The Federal Affairs team oversees our today's public image with the goal of enhancing greater awareness of the agency and services while promoting transit usage in Southeast Michigan. We use strategic messaging and a targeted communication strategy to elevate our RTA brand among our riders, stakeholders, and media outlets across the region. Internally, our team has the consonants. He's our communication strategist, our rider extraordinaire. John Bichette has recently joined our team. He is the webmaster, and you see him with the camera, video content. And that's Jonathan's area. We also have Van Lejana on the Q-line side of operation. And then we have our external consultants. Brian Bridges over there representing MMA, Brian Amaro Associates, was still with us since the inception of the RTA. And then combined with Bellwether out of Lansing. And then most recently, if you guys recall, in December, we brought forward First West On, which is a marketing firm, which is going to help us advance our brand. Next slide. And I am going to rephrase us as not just the external affairs team, but we are the award-winning external affairs team. Most recently, last month, we received a first place award from ACTA for our marketing campaign and activation on the Q line in 2026. So, little bragging rights, I brought our award. We applied for this award. This is the third time we applied for it. First two times we didn't get it at all. And then last year we applied, and not only did we receive it, but we received first place. So really excited for this, giving us a national transit spotlight when it comes to marketing and promotions. So it's much well-deserved, and I just wanted to bring a compliment. Sure. Thank you. And that was at a most recent conference. We're going to attempt to show you the award-winning entry. It never works for me when I come before you all.
New thing.
Perhaps that will be my lucky. This will be my lucky charm. Where is it? thank you very much. So just a little stats for you. Regional impact. Just to show you some of our numbers. 30,000 followers on social media, 700,000 individuals to be reached and touched in 2026. 1,500 posts. We have upped our posting on our social media platforms with our website. We have 150 viewers over the past 90 days. Our newsletter is peaking over 30,000 subscribers. And most new to our role responsibility is Transit App. And so we are working and learning and rolling our Transit App presence. New website. If you recall, last year, third quarter, we launched our new website. So we're really happy with the new look. We notice more people are paying attention to us. So that lets us know our previous website was definitely outdated. So now we are at 62% increase in users since we developed our new website. Next slide. So Q-Line, you will notice the Q-Line wraps are with a partnership with MEDC. And this year, MEDC is celebrating the 20th anniversary of Pure Michigan. It's hard to believe this campaign is this old. But we will be partnering with them to help them promote the 20th anniversary with our wraps for both interior and exterior advertising, along with advertising at the stations. So there will start to be, once we get our video monitors up and running, MEDC will also be doing some promotional opportunities with our stations, Q-Line stations. Next slide. That's in D2A2. Ridership remains strong. We've been discussed that top of this report. We have our growth with DATS, 18% year-over-year growth, D2A2. Average 17% year-over-year growth. Just to note, we recently got our query numbers, and we jumped 1,500 riders from last February of 2025 to this February of 2026. And also along the lines of new upgrades, both our D2A2 and that's for us to have it rebranded and rewrapped. So you will notice there's new look to them, and it's interior wise. They've also been upgraded. You'll see leather-ish seats now. We will see more bells and whistles on the inside, and that's coming up. We are finally going to start getting some things posted on the monitors inside of our coaches. They do have ability to show video. We do have the opportunity to look at advertising, which could be a revenue generator for the RTA. All of these things we are exploring to 2026. Next slide. Transit App, back to Transit App. So we are learning as we go with Transit App. And the features, the bells and whistles are endless with this app that we are learning and looking to find what the right fit is for our market. So we are trying a few things. We launched a great campaign in January. We're doing both organic advertising and we're putting some money behind some advertising too. And most recently, we just did a St. Patrick's Day avatar campaign, and next up is March Madness. So we're going to do a bracket style competition. We're going to put a little transit spin on it. So look forward to seeing that on Transit App. For those of you that do have the app downloaded, does anybody have the app downloaded? All right, great. Next slide. Media relations, PR, interviews, TV, radio appearances. We have had been out here on the circuit and contribute with partnership with MMA. We have used our legislative report as the anchor to having been doing media interviews throughout the entire month. So he has been at WBET, he's been on Mishmash, he just yesterday completed a podcast with METC in that, and we are looking to still expand into that, into more legislative and statewide appearances for Ben, moving the RTA name and brand, trying to give a statewide exposure. So we continue to foster relationships with our local media partners as well. And consistently, as always, the RTA as the subject matter expert when it comes to transit and the go-to for all transit-related activities in Southeast Michigan. Next slide. Major campaigns, D2A2 index survey results. We are right now in the midst of educating the public on just how successful and popular both D2A2 index is. And then also stated at the beginning, we just had Transit Employee Appreciation Day yesterday. So we brought this day under the umbrella of the external affairs team. So we're looking to expose it more. So with Transit Appreciation Day, this is a national effort that has been sponsored by APTA, which has then brought down to the statewide level of MPTA. And BTA has encouraged all the local transit agencies throughout state to honor and recognize their employees. So we did an entire campaign around Thank the Driver. We actually went to Q-Line stops, talked with folks, encouraged them to thank their favorite Q-Line driver, and then we got them on video. We put together that video and did a campaign around it. In addition to that, Transit App, as I said, we're learning Transit App. They had a wonderful feature where those folks, individuals that have downloaded the app, could actually thank their driver through that. So we put that together as content. We shared it with all the providers. So each provider was also able to do the same thing. So DDOT had a platform and Smart had a platform, and all of the Smart Drive riders were able to thank their Smart driver in accordance to Transit Appreciation Day. So we always want to appreciate our staff. Bottom slide. On the horizon. So what's next for quarter, the next quarter for the external affairs team? We're bringing our new marketing agency on board, French West Bond. And you'll notice one thing that they will be helping us to do is to better brand cohesion. So we've got DAX, we've got D2A2, we've got Q-Line. But a lot of individuals don't know that the RTA runs these three entities. So we want to really do a better job of bringing this all together under one umbrella, as I like to call it, our family of brands. So we are going to be doing something centered around the power of the ATA, the power of the RTA. We're getting into radio is something I've wanted to do since I started with the agency. So we're going to dip our pinky baby toe into advertising, just strictly brand awareness. Two markets, sports radio, and then we're looking to 92.3, and this is going to be with the help of French West Farm. And then Tigers opening day, that's always a very big day for us. Big media push, take transit to the game. How about the Q line? You can take it free, reiterating that the Q line is free. To the game, and we're partnering with Wayne State. Our friends at Wayne State for park and ride lots, $5. You can park your car at a lot for $5 on opening day. Stressing, we know how much parking costs on opening day. So you will be seeing a lot of push encouraging people to hashtag take transit on opening day. Bicycle safety awareness, our spring education campaign. Did you know that National Ride a Bike Day is May 3rd? Did you know there was a National Bike to Work Week? Well, we're going to be launching our bike safety awareness campaign around these two national initiatives. And in addition to that, SimCog also has a commuter challenge during this month. So all of these things are going to kind of like come together, and we'll be able to really educate our riders and the public on just safety tips when it comes to biking. And then, of course, more event sponsorships are Q Line streetcar activations. Pause on the Q Line is coming up. We converted him yesterday. He will be doing a ride along promoting opening day. So if you happen to be downtown around lunchtime on the last Friday of this month, you may see Pause on Q Line. And with that, that concludes my presentation. Does anyone have any questions?
When we do the bike safety piece, is that a time when we did advertise or try to communicate a bit about bikes on Uber and the dangers associated with our track?
That is going to be the focal point of the campaign.
Oh, that's right.
And we also will be posting more signage with that.
Great. We've had a number of people
yes.
that have had accidents, so it's important to communicate to the general public riding on the track twice a night.
And that's the catalyst behind camping.
That's right. Awesome. Any other questions?
All right.
Yes.
This is your third year, Marty.
It is.
You keep cumulative statistics from the time the run from the home to show us how much we
grow.
Yes.
I do. It's a lot.
I'm sure that you probably went from 0-60 in 3 weeks. So
I would say 0, maybe like 5%.
Yeah.
But thanks for your work. Thanks for the energy that you and your team have brought to the exposure of our team throughout. It's really critical going to the game, not only by leadership, but public.
Exactly.
So
thank you. Thanks, everyone.
All right. So now we move on to new business. Anyone have some business? All right, that the age of turn takes you off. Oh. Oh. Oh.